Good morning, KICY listeners, and welcome to Care Force. I'm John Cardwell, pastor of Scammon Bay Covenant Church in Scammon Bay, Alaska, and I would love to wish you Merry Christmas, Christmas greetings from Scammon Bay. For those of you who are maybe listening in from Hawaii, Mele Kalikimaka, or those of you who are on the internet, listening to Care Force via the internet from Mexico, Feliz Navidad, and if you happen to be Hebrew, Chag Simiach to you. At any rate, Merry Christmas. It's my privilege and pleasure to join you on this morning's Care Force on this December 24th, 2007. If you have prayer requests that you'd like to call in, the one portion of our program that is such a blessing to those in Western Alaska, in fact, all over Alaska with our with the tower that we have with KICY reaching even into Russia. We would like you to give us a call at 1-800-478-5429. From the villages, that's 1-800-478-KICY. And if you're calling in from Nome, you can call in locally at 443-2213. Again, that number in Nome is 443-2213. Call in with your praises, prayer requests, petitions, and thanksgivings, and we'll pray together over the airwaves and exalt the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I happened to miss 2 weeks ago because when we got back into Scammon Bay from the lower 48 states, we didn't have internet or phone for a while. And it actually was a little bit of a blessing, but we're back, and we are even more tremendously blessed having the communications and to be able to have the privilege to be on Care Force this morning. Let me open up to Luke chapter 1, and let's look at some scriptures for our morning devotion. Let us look at a very special KICY Christmas broadcast, December 24th, or Christmas Eve broadcast, as it were. And we'll look at Luke chapter 1 and verses 24 through 38. And let us, if you have a Bible, go ahead and open up to it. I'll wait for you for a second. Okay, your second's up. And if you don't have a Bible, that's all right, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So listen to the words and let the Lord speak to you through his holy scriptures. We'll begin in Luke chapter 1 and verse 24. And after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, Thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28, And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And he saw him. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive, and in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32, He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Verse 35. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Verse 36, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Verse 39, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah. May the Lord add his abundant blessing to the reading and the hearing of his holy word. Let's pray before we look at the scriptures a little more closely, shall we? Gracious Heavenly Father, in the beloved name of our Lord Jesus, we come before you. We pray, Father, that we might look at your scriptures in humility and in truth. We pray, Father, that you will be exalted, that the name of Jesus will be exalted, and the cross of Jesus Christ will be in the very center of all that we contemplate on this, all that we consider with these scriptures. We pray, Father, that that will be true, that it will be the cross of Christ, that access that we have to you. We pray, dearest Heavenly Father, that as we continue to celebrate this Christmas season, 2007, that we understand what it is that is so distracting to us during this time that takes our minds away from the gospel. And pray, Father, that you'll minister unto us, that, Father, that as far as for me, that you would hold back and restrain anything of the flesh that is in me, that your spirit and truth will come forth in power, and that even through my fumbling, bumbling, and stumbling, that the word of your truth will go forth in power in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, I'd like to start it off with a question. Is, did you know that except for the Gospel of Luke, the details of the birth of Christ are almost non-existent? Did you know that? That's the question. That in the Gospel of Matthew, it speaks of his being born, but it doesn't give any details, really, of the birth itself, the circumstances surrounding the birth, and so forth. The Gospel of Mark is completely silent. It speaks of this servant of God that comes forth, John the Baptist, and then it speaks of Jesus coming on the scene, being baptized of John. In the Gospel of John, it says that the Word, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that in verse 14 of that first chapter, it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, meaning that Christ was born. So the only place that we actually have any details surrounding Christ's birth is in the Gospel of Luke in chapter 1 and 2. And the interesting thing about that is that in Luke's details, it's the gospel that tells us that Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. See, none of the scriptures speak of December 25th. Now, before you shut the radio off, let's bear this out and let's look at what the scriptures say. It shows that more than likely he was conceived around this time. And the details in Luke chapter 1 express that. Now, where we see this is actually in a portion that we did not read. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, we can kind of see a little bit of a timeline here. It says in Luke chapter 1 and verse 5, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Well, Zacharias was a priest of the course of, in Hebrew, it's Aviah, or Abijah, that Yah is my father. Interesting. It's the eighth course when David, the king, 1,000 years earlier, divided up the priesthood into 24 courses. There were so many priests in that day from the line that followed from Aaron, that they had to divide them up, and that's why lots were cast and who would be able to offer to burn incense in the temple and light the candles and so forth. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 24, it gives that division, and the eighth course is the course of Abijah. Now, according to the ceremonial calendar, the religious calendar of the Hebrews and the law of the Jews, that would place the eighth course between the last week of May and the first week of July, essentially June. Now, the angel came to Zacharias and said he's going to have a son, and that son would be born of Elizabeth, and that would be John the Baptist. He would be the prophet. Now, it says in the text that we did read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26, it says, "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth." Well, we have to remember that here Gabriel goes to Nazareth 6 months after he visits Zechariah. Zechariah finishes his duties in the temple, goes in unto Elizabeth, his wife, and she conceives. And someone might say, well, hey, look, in verse 24, it says that Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months. Well, she hid herself 5 months. It didn't mean that she was only 5 months pregnant. She probably was 6 months pregnant because, and she wasn't showing the first month, so she didn't have to hide herself the first month. She was finding out, okay, well, I'm pregnant. And for that first month, she realizes, well, now I am pregnant. And then she hides herself for 5 more months. Because we had read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 36, when Gabriel visits Mary in Nazareth, he tells Mary that Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. See verse 36. It says, "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her, who was called barren." That means that because Gabriel visited Zacharias in June, the 6th month, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant, then Mary conceived in December, probably this time of year, as was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. It says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Speaking of the incarnation, that God would be dwelling among us. Imanu means with us. El is the Hebrew word for God. Imanu is the Hebrew word for with us. Immanuel. Emmanuel. God became a man. It speaks of what the theologians call and the Bible scholars call the incarnation. That God, the very God, Father, that existed before the foundation of the world, who eternally exists, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he comes to the planet Earth in his Son. God became a man. That's the incarnation. John chapter 1 and verse 14 tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Excuse me. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, it says in the Scripture, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now, for unto us a child is born. That is the incarnation, that God became a man. It says, as I just read in John chapter 1 and verse 14, or recited, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. In Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and be called Emmanuel. That would be the sign. And in Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6, it says, "Unto us a son is given." What is that speaking of? It speaks of the crucifixion of Christ. That in John chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And that, did you realize this? That in John John's Gospel, in chapter 18, in verse 37, that when Jesus stands before Pontius Pilate, just before he goes to the cross, and he's being tried by Pontius Pilate, Pilate says to him, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I unto the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Now, I'm going to read it from another version here. I'm going to open up to a version called the New Living Translation. The brethren of Scammon Bay Covenant Church, some of them have enjoyed reading this version and reading it to their families, and I wanted to read from that verse, John chapter 18 and verse 37, from the New Living Translation. As Pilate replied, "You are a king then?" Jesus said this, "You say that I am a king, and you are right. I was born for that purpose, and I came to bring truth to the world. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true." Well, he wasn't. The New Living Translation speaks of that he was born to be king, but the rendering from the King James, and actually even in the Greek, makes it a little bit more. A little bit more inclusive, not only his kingdom, but that for this end, for this purpose, for the purpose of him going to the cross, he came into the world that he should bear witness of that truth, that everyone, and that everyone that hears this truth will hears his voice. Now, I bring that verse to light because I want to make this particular point that Jesus came to bear witness of the truth, to testify of the truth. And as the New Living Translation of John chapter 18 verse 37, it says that he came to bring truth to the world, and all who love the truth recognize what he says is true. You see, even though I read to you the truth of Scripture about the birth of Jesus Christ, surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, and that by our tradition, celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ on December 25th is not so according to Scripture. That many who are listening right now are saying, well, I'm just not going to believe that. I say to you, is it any wonder? And in fact, I say to you Christians too, that are witnessing the gospel unto others, is it any wonder that someone who hears the gospel, when we preach that God became a man, Jesus Christ, according to Scripture, that he was crucified according to Scripture, that he was buried 3 days and three nights according to Scripture, that he was risen and ascended according to Scripture, and he is returning, that some will just say, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. I won't believe it. Or if they believe, it's not a faith that places trust in Christ. It's a belief, the same belief as the devils who see Jesus Christ, who know who he is. They know who the Creator is that they were once at the throne of God, the fallen angels who are devils. It says in James that the devils believe and tremble. They have a belief. Okay, many people believe that Jesus is the Christ. But they don't have a belief that is a saving belief unto salvation, that brings repentance with godly sorrow to say that I have sinned against the holy God and to turn from those sins and turn unto God. Now, see, I'm not telling you, brothers and sisters, I'm not telling you not to celebrate Christmas. No, I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you to acknowledge the truth according to the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures to see what they say. Be as the Bereans, according to Acts chapter 17 and verse 11. They don't take my word for it. Don't take Pastor John's word for it. In fact, don't take any pastor's word for it. Search the Scriptures yourself and see that what the things that we're saying is true. Jesus is not the reason for the season. He's the reason for every season. We need to repent before him. as we use the name of Christ during this time of year and commit such terrible sins of lust, greed, jealousy, idolatry, anxiety, selfishness. We even lie. We talk about this Santa Claus to our children. We as Christians, we tell them about this imaginary person, doesn't exist, bringing toys one night a year, as if that's true, teaching our children to lie. We need to repent of that. God forbid that we would use the name of Christ, and this is what makes the sin so terrible. This is what makes the sin so terrible, is that we use the name of a holy God, our holy God. We use his name and commit such terrible things in his name. Churches fill up this time of year because of the guilt of these sins that we commit and all these things and all the pressures that are on us, and we end up going to church twice a year at Christmas and Easter. And you know what? Because we fail to preach Christ crucified, maybe, you know, I would suggest me being the chiefest of sinners, that so many Christmases have passed by, and knowing the truth, having found this truth so early in my studies, that I need, this year definitely, I have repented, and I'm not going to just let it go because I see the church filling up and hoping, oh boy, that I could preach the gospel to them. And guess what? On the days that they show up, I don't preach the gospel. I don't preach Christ crucified, and they go away unsaved. They go away unsaved. We get so, it's, and I repent that they have gone away unsaved. And then our churches empty out again until Easter. That we should preach passionately. We get so busy, even we pastors especially, during this time of year, and we're so busy doing so many things. Come on, face it. Be honest with yourself. No one's seeing what your thoughts are. Think about it. How rushed you are. How often have you truly given a thought to Christ being born in the flesh? That he was a human being, perfect, without sin. That he came to die upon the cross, a tree of wood, on Calvary, Mount Calvary, 2,000 years ago. How many thoughts have you given over unto him this last few weeks? Yeah, not as many as we thought, huh? Maybe none at all. We got so busy with buying things or baking stuff. We're trying to do this or that or get those cards out. And we do so many of these good things. These things, some of these things are good. We want to do helpful things for other people. Even for us who are saved, we do these wonderful things, but we don't give any thought to gospel truth. And that just shows you how sinful man became because of Adam's fall. Though we are new creatures in Christ, the corruption of our flesh is so wicked, so vile, so abominable, that we will get easily distracted from what is truly important. It's the cross of Jesus Christ. You know, this season, let's give pause. Let's stop for a moment. Let's reflect on the gospel truths. Let's go from there and cherish these truths moment by moment. Every day that God became a baby, born to a virgin named Mary, that he came from heaven to earth for that one important purpose, to be sacrificed for the sins of mankind, to suffer the anger of God as if he committed all our sins himself, yet having not committed a single sin. That in doing so, at suffering under the hands of the Jews and Romans on his body, and then the anger of God poured out upon him for sins which he didn't commit, as if he committed those sins, then he was buried 3 days and three nights in a borrowed and unused tomb, and rose from the dead to live forevermore. And then after appearing to his disciples, he's ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father on high. And he has promised to return. And until that return, he is ever living to make intercession for us. As it says in Hebrews chapter 7, that at the right hand of God the Father, that we who are saved by his grace through faith, that when if we have sinned, that even though we have been saved, there is no condemnation because God the Son is interceding to God the Father for us. As it says in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, that we have an advocate. If any man sins, he has an advocate with the Father. That we can repent, and that if we confess our sins according to 1 John 1:8, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the gospel, folks. And it comes so far. It has come so far from this Christmas season. Okay, sure, Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. We know that. But we can still celebrate it, fine. Or don't celebrate it. Be as unto the Lord, celebrate every day of his incarnation, of God's becoming a man and going to the cross. He must have been fully man and fully God in order to go to the cross, or your sins are not paid, are not forgiven, and the wrath of God still abides on you. Weep for anyone who would teach you that that Jesus Christ is not fully God or fully man. The only person who ever existed or will ever exist with two natures, fully man, fully God. And we who are in him are now new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And therefore, in this Christmas season, we can go forth with joy. As the shepherds saw the birth of the Christ child, that they saw him and they went forth with exceeding joy. With exceeding joy. Let that be on our hearts this Christmas and every Christmas. Let that be on our hearts and minds every single day of every week, of every month, of every year. Jesus, again, I want to say Jesus is not the reason for the season. He is the very God who created every season, and he is the reason for life itself. That is the joy, and that's what we proclaim. That is the preaching of the cross, and that should be the banner over our heads and in our hearts and everything we do for every Christmas from here on out. Let it be in Western Alaska, in all of Alaska, yea, in all of the world, that there are unbelievers that are celebrating Christmas. Should we not be ashamed that we bring traditions above the truth? Should we not be ashamed that we present superstitions above the scriptures and the Spirit of God? We should be ashamed, and we should repent and continue to repent. We sin in many things, it says in James chapter 3 and verse 2. We all sin in many, many things. But when we come to the light of the truth, let us do that. Let us come to the light of the truth and fall upon our knees and worship God, our Savior, Jesus Christ. See, and if you've heard these truths today and have never repented, have never come with godly sorrow to be sickened and saddened over your sin because we have sinned against the holy God, I preach it time and time again that we're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners and that we are totally wicked. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. And that if the preaching of this truth says, this is the truth, the Spirit of God ministering unto your heart, fall before him. Fall before God in your heart, or literally on your knees. If this brings you sorrow that there is no hope in you except it be in Jesus Christ, that is the truth of the gospel. And repent. Turn unto him. Don't stop that. Keep your heart tuned to him. Turn to him. until a work has been done, and you know with beyond the reason, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ is a truth in your heart, and that God has secured your salvation, that He has saved you, and not a, just simply a decision that you have made. And for you who are Christians, that you know in the depth of your soul, in the very core of your being, that God has saved you by the work of Jesus Christ upon the cross. We need to repent, too, of these things that have gotten in the way of Christmas, however good or however well-intended they may be, that if you have been distracted, it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue or anything praiseworthy, think on these things. What is more lovely than Jesus Christ? What is more true than the Scriptures that point to Jesus Christ and speak of Jesus Christ? What is more honest than admitting that we are sinners and confessing our sins before a holy God? When we think on these things, that is what the joy of Christmas is. That is the joy of our salvation, because it is his salvation. He is our salvation. He is salvation. He is life. He is very life. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in the name of our beloved Lord Jesus, who hung upon Calvary's tree, thank you, Lord. I, for one, repent. I sin in many things, Lord. Your holiness comes before us through your word, and we should be ashamed. But we should be ashamed with great joy. That is that's the great paradox, the great irony, Lord, that we're ashamed with great joy in God our Savior. That I am wretched and vile, yet you have bestowed upon us majesty and glory, because it is in the name of Christ and by Christ and through Christ that we have salvation, that we have life, that we have all the blessings that an infinite heaven can contain. Can contain because of Christ, that in Christ, He is our joy. He is our hope, our stay, the first and the last, and all things in between. May our hearts be turned to Him always until we come to glory, and that when we see Him face to face, we will not have a thought of any other thing but Jesus Christ Himself, not even a thought of ourselves. We won't turn to the left or to the right. Lord God, make that our joy and our eternal perseverance, that we look on the things of Christ, that we repent, Lord, and that our repentance is a continual repentance of the faith that You have placed in us, to believe and continue to believe, to repent and continue to repent because of the corruption that lies in this flesh that we've inherited from Adam. Lord God, thank You for the Christmas season. Though we have failed and we continue to fail, You bring us joy even in the midst of this suffering and trial of where we have sinned. In Jesus' name, we thank Thee. And for His sake and His eternal glory, amen and amen. Well, we have some prayer requests and petitions that have been called in. If you do have prayer requests, petitions, thanksgivings, and you'd like them to call them in, call in to KICY at 1-800-478-KICY. That's 1-800-478-5429, and if you're calling in from Nome, dial locally at 443-2213. Again, that's 443-2213. first prayer request that has been called in is to pray that God would restore a listener's marriage and deliver her and her husband from drugs and alcohol. She also asks for God's guidance and healing in her life. A second prayer request called in, or a prayer, to pray for a listener who is asking for God to restore his love and joy in his relationship with his friends, his fellow believers. By his power, let Satan know he can't separate us. Next prayer request is to pray for a listener's nephew who is struggling with a marriage. He is attempting to reconcile with his wife, but is experiencing resistance. Pray to soften her heart. To pray for a listener's son, pray for a listener's son falsely accused of sexual assault is the next prayer request. And the next one that was called in was pray for a listener's son who has returned home after two tours of duty in Kuwait. He has turned to alcohol. Pray with the entire family for his deliverance from alcohol. Next prayer request called in is a listener who asks for prayer for the people of Scammon Bay, especially those who recently turned their lives over to him, and to those not yet saved. May the people be revitalized to seek Jesus and a new way of life. And I'm tremendously blessed to read that one on the air. And pray for those, also continued in this prayer request, is pray for those traveling in the villages to spread the good news that more would turn to him. The next prayer request called in is a listener and two children accepted the Lord into their lives and ask for prayer that they may draw closer to the Lord and learn to walk with him, and to pray for her boyfriend who is incarcerated that he will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and for God to help him in his pre-indictment hearing. The next group of prayer requests called in is prayer is requested for a listener's grandchild who is sick and coughing. Pray for all the babies who are not feeling well. Pray for the elders that they may have good health. Pray for the gamblers that they may be freed from that addiction. Next prayer request is a listener asks for prayer for the Elliot Alana family, who just lost their mother. Pray for everybody in Wales and Shishmaref during the holidays. The next prayer request that was called in is to pray for this listener's baby girl and this listener's sister to stop getting sick, to pray for her son to start praying and listening in school, to pray for her family in different places, to pray for everyone to have a safe and wonderful holiday in all the villages, and that families would reunite peacefully during the holidays. The next prayer request called in is pray for an individual needing prayer for a drinking problem and not taking care of his children while his partner is out of state taking care of health problems. And to pray for a listener's family. The next prayer request, the last prayer request on our page of those that were called in, is to pray for a listener's family. Their daughter tried to kill herself this morning, and her marriage is in trouble. Pray for this family to recommit their lives to following a path to love Jesus. And once again, if you do have prayer requests, petitions, thanksgivings to call in, please call in the KICY at 1-800-478-KICY. That's 1-800-478-5429. And from Nome, dial locally at 443-2213. That's 443-2213. And though it's not on the list, I do add this prayer request to continue to pray for the pastors in Western Alaska, for the leadership in Western, and in fact, all of Alaska, I should say. Keep on saying Western Alaska, but all of Alaska. Pray for our church leadership. Pray for the empty pulpits And for the leaders that are ministering without pastors, pray for the villages that don't have that do not have pastors. And I would just like to say this also to Scammon Bay Covenant Church. On behalf of Scammon Bay Covenant Church, we thank everyone that's been praying for us and praying for me in particular. We want to extend our Christmas greetings and our Christian love in to every one of the churches in Alaska, and we thank you so much for your prayers for us, and for your prayers for Scammon Bay, and wish you the a Christ-filled, cross-centered Christmas this season, and thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts for all your prayers and all your support, and let's go before the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so incredibly blessed by your mercy, by your grace, by your love, and by your providence. Father, I'm overwhelmed, and my tears are not of so much of sadness, but of great joy when I consider what you have done to secure for us so great a salvation in Christ Jesus upon the cross. What a blessed gift, Lord. I pray, Father, that we would all be so overwhelmed with such joy and such gratitude for you. Not to flippantly say we're celebrating Jesus' birthday, but to rejoice and such a loving Heavenly Father, such a gracious God in the Son, such a ministering work of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We thank you, Father, for the prayer requests that have been called in. We thank you, Father, for the situations that we're going through, these difficult times. We thank you, Lord, for the tragedies that have affected our families that bring us to a point where we have no choice but to fall on our faces before you, to surrender ourselves at the throne of mercy and say, God, you are good. No matter what comes, God, you're good. You are so good. You are good. And apart from you, there is nothing good whatsoever. Oh, Lord God, minister unto the saints. Strengthen us, Lord, with the hope of your coming. Reassure us, Lord, that your promise is true and it's certain that you will bring it to pass. Let us, Lord, until you come, let us be reminded of the joy that you intercede at the right hand of God the Father. In your intercession, that if we sin, that we have an advocate, a lawyer, a defense attorney against the accuser of the brethren, because we sin in so many ways. Yet your blood has cleanses us from all sin, and that we may go to you as advocate, as intercessor, as a lawyer, as a pleading attorney for us, because you're the propitiation, the mercy seat of our sins in the cross, as you have died upon the cross. Oh, that I'm so thankful for the, not so much even for that those two sticks of wood, that as much as the Christ who died upon the cross. You, Lord God. Father, there were many prayer requests that were called in for restored relationships, and I pray, Father, that they be, that our relationship with you, the reconciliation that we have with you, be strong first, that all other relationships that we have may be reconciled. And Father, may we know the truth that Jesus said, if anyone loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me, is not worthy of me. I pray, Father, that you place in our hearts that truth, that our relationship with you through the Son is most important first, and then these relationships, that because our relationship with you is right, then we can seek to have reconciliation with all the others. Father, with the things that have so strapped the corruptions of our flesh with the alcohol and drugs and things like that. Father, I pray, Father, that you release us from that, from those things that keep us from the truth of your word. And I pray, Father, for those that are, for those bootleggers and drug dealers, I pray, Father, that you have mercy upon them. That, Lord, you bless them according to your goodness and not according to what they have, according to what they deserve. Because if I prayed according to what I deserve eternal punishment. I pray according to your grace and mercy, Lord, that you reach down and save them to the uttermost, even this day. To save them that they would not peddle drugs or bootleg and that, Lord, the bondage of alcohol would be broken in Alaska. Father, we pray, Lord God, that for the churches, Father, that we be strengthened in your word, that we grow in maturity in the scriptures, Lord, that, Father, that we speak the truth in love and know that I've spoken the truth and many people might even be upset with it. I don't know. But you know, Father, thou knowest. I pray, Father, that the truth of your word will touch those of whom you are effectually calling through the power of your Holy Spirit by the preaching of the cross. I pray, Lord, that our churches are strengthened to walk in the truth and the of the scriptures. I pray, Lord, that our ministers are strengthened by the doctrines of grace. I pray, Lord, that that for those empty pulpits, Lord, and for those villages without even pastors or ministers or even a home Bible study, I pray, Father, that your Spirit this day, this even this moment will pour forth like light in a dark place. Pray, Father, that as Jesus is the light, that your light come forth. Pray, Lord, that you're using KICY to continue to use KICY, and as you have used KICY to reach into to even the darkest place in Alaska, to bring light, Father, to shine as light as Jesus is light, and that we might be lights of the world in Him. We pray, Father, that that you'll minister unto our leadership in our villages, to our tribal councils and our traditional councils, to our mayors and our law enforcement, to our fire departments, village public safety officers, for all those that are working in leadership or law enforcement and safety, Father, that you minister unto them. You minister unto our legislators also, Lord, and our representatives in Alaska and also in the United States. We pray for all our leaders, Lord, that we might live peaceably in this land. And we thank you, Father, for this time that you've given us to praise you, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ, to see the truth of the cross, and by the foolishness of preaching, the word says that it will be offensive. It will be a stumbling block to the Jews and offensive to the Greeks, but Christ, we preach Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. We thank you, Lord, for the preaching of the cross. And pray, Lord Jesus, that you come soon, but until you do, and as you tarry, may we grow strong and strengthened with the thought of the joy of Jesus, not just in this season, but every season, spring, summer, winter, and fall, for thou art the Creator. Thou art the Creator. You are the reason for every season. You are the Creator of every season, and you are life itself. We thank you for that in Jesus' holy, precious, and mighty name. And for his sake, and for his glory, amen and amen.